had turned several places in Scripture this morning. Why don't you start out in Ephesians 4 once again? Ephesians chapter 4. We'll jump off from there, okay? As you're getting there, let me pray for us. Oh Lord, please come and speak your words to us this morning. Lord, help me to be clear as I'm presenting this. Lord, I know you give me so much information here, and it can be muddled if you don't clarify. Lord, I pray that you'll come, that you will speak these words out. You speak through me, O Lord. Lord, we want to be your people, called by your name. We want to do things your way. Lord, let it be clear how that's supposed to be done today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this passage to you. Now you, son of man, get yourself a brick. Place it before you and inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. Then lay siege against it. Build a siege wall. Raise up a ramp. Pitch camps and place battering rams against it all around. Then get yourself an iron plate and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city. And set your face toward it so that it is under siege and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity. 390 days that you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. And you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem with your arm bared and prophesy against it. Now behold, I'll put ropes on you so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege. But as for you, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them on in one vessel and make them into bread for yourself. You shall eat it according to the number of the days that you lie on your side, 390 days. Your food which you shall eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight. You shall eat it from time to time. The water you drink shall be the sixth part of the hin by measure. You shall drink it from time to time. You shall eat it as a barley cake, having baked it on in their sight over human dung. And the Lord said, thus will the sons of Israel eat their bread and clean among the nations, where I will banish them. But I said, Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled. From my youth until now, I have never eaten of what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has any unclean meat ever entered my mouth. He said to me, see, I will give you cow's dung in place of the human dung over which you will prepare for your bread. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, behold, I'm going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they'll eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and drink water by measure in an horror, because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquities. The prophet of God. That was out of the book of Ezekiel. A man lying down on one side. Now, be honest with me. If we all walked out of the church and out of the front door this morning, and there was a guy lying out here in the middle of the yard, on one side, and he wouldn't move, and he's got a little Lego set there that he's constructed of, it looks like a little city, and he's playing with it, but he can't move off of one side. He's got a little place over here where he made a fire out of cow stuff. So you get his food. Now, tell me the truth. You guys, number one, everybody would have their cell phones out, calling the local hospital. Would you please come and get this guy? And if you don't have a cell phone, you'd be in here. Say, hey, Pastor Ryan, there's this guy out here. And we need to get him taken care of right away because he's messed up. Right? Which one of you would say, oh, that's the prophet of God. Don't mess with him. Be honest with me. You all think the guy's nuts and he needs to be in the local hospital. You know, that's exactly what has happened a lot to the office of prophet in the New Testament church, in our church today. See, a lot of times prophets, they're a little bit on the eccentric side. And the church loves to hear the encouragement. They love to hear the everybody wants to know the future. Everybody wants that great word that somebody comes along and says, you know, God's going to bless you. He's going to give you money and a house, and he's going to do this for you, and your kids are going to grow up great. And everybody wants to hear that, but when the prophet starts getting a little bit on the weird side, they say, whoa, time out. Why don't you just go someplace else? And it's almost like the church today has had this bipolar relationship with the prophets. Because they want the ministry when it's a good and fun ministry, and when it's encouraging to us and it uplifts us. And that's part of the ministry. But when all of a sudden, when it starts to get a little bit on the wacky side, they start to do things that are a little bit different, so all of a sudden we go, ooh, why don't you take your ministry someplace else and come back and share when you're ready to just bless us and encourage us again. I'm going to show you a little bit more of that in a minute, but I want to first give a few caveats and definition here, because what we need to look at is it's a little bit vague. So I'm going to try to give some metaphors for a prophet and for the prophetic ministry. But as any metaphor is, it's not exact, okay? So you're going to have to bear with me a little bit. And don't come back and say, you know what, but this isn't exactly, I know it's a metaphor, all right? So as I'm going through this, I'm trying to describe what a prophet is like, what the office of a prophet is like, I'm going to use a couple of metaphors to show what that is. Okay, hopefully between that, you'll get a little bit better idea and description. First of all, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11, once again. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, that is teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service and the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And one thing I want to say first off is that the gift of a prophet that you find in the Old Testament, it's the same gift, but it's a different office. Okay? I know that might be a little bit confusing, all right? But so I'm going to try to unpack that a little bit. Let me say that again. The office that you have in the New Testament, okay, the prophetic gift in the Old Testament is virtually the same as the New Testament prophet, but it's a different office. It's a different office. Okay, what you find in the Old Testament is a prophet, a lot of times without an office. Every so often they have one, that maybe they're under David, okay? And David has Gad the seer or Nathan the prophet that he's working with, and they're the king's prophet. That's not the norm. A lot of times it's just a man of God who God calls to speak out a particular word. You have Isaiah, who God calls as a prophet. Go prophesy to the king. You have Jeremiah, that God calls as a prophet. Says, okay, you're going to declare the destruction of Jerusalem. Here, boom, 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 boom. It's not an office so much. And a lot of the times, the Old Testament prophets, what you end up with is this prophet of God who's speaking the words of God, but a lot of times it's speaking the word of judgment against a person, like a king, a nation, or nations. A lot of times, not always, okay, but a lot of times in the Old Testament, it is God speaking and tearing down. There is some building up. There is some blessing. There is some, yes, this is what God's going to do. But a lot of the Old Testament, it's destruction is coming. Judgment is coming. Get yourself straight. In the New Testament, you're going to find that flip on its head. Okay? A New Testament prophet is going to be much more about building up of the body of Christ. Okay? Can he prophesy judgment? Absolutely. And look out. But what happens a lot with the New Testament prophet, why I said it's the same gift, because they're speaking for God. They are hearing from God and they're delivering that. But the difference is, it's mainly, as I just showed you in Ephesians 4, it's mainly for the building up of the body, for the encouraging of the body, for the edification of the body, so that the body can be full and experience everything that God has to experience. You see that distinction just a little bit? Hopefully we become a little bit more clear. In the Old Testament, it's much more about God speaking out against, okay? It's judgment. So much of it's about judgment. Not all of it, okay? Don't come back and say, yeah, but Nathan came up to David. I know. But a lot of it, whole books are judgment, 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 judgment. You know, flip it on its head. All right? In the New Testament, what you have a lot of is a prophet that is going to come and encourage the body of Christ. They're going to come, alongside people. They're going to let people experience the entire fullness of God, in the power of God, in the words of God. You want wisdom and knowledge? Get with a prophet. One thing that we're going to find is with the prophetic is oftentimes things are more caught than taught. Okay? With the prophetic, they're oftentimes more caught than taught. Flip over in the Old Testament. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'm sorry, 19. 1 Samuel 19. What we find is David has escaped from Saul. He's on the run. Saul now is going to, he's trying to go after David. In verse 11 it says, Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch in order to put him to death in the morning. I'm sorry, I'll jump down to 18, verse 18. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and stayed at Naoth. It was told Saul, saying, behold, David's at Naoth in Ramah. So Saul sent messengers to take David, but when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came as far as the large well that is in Shechem, And he asked and said, where is Samuel and David? Someone said, behold, they're at Naoth in Ramah. So he proceeded there to Naoth in Ramah. The Spirit of God came upon him also. So then he went along and prophesied continually until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel and laid down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Saul went there in order to get David. He sent messengers after David. And all of a sudden, he gets with the company of the messengers first, and then Saul himself gets with the company of the prophets. And all of a sudden, what's going on with the prophets rubs off on him. It's caught. Much more than talk. When you deal with the prophetic office, a lot of times just being in the presence, what happens is you get the Spirit of God will come upon you. And you'll begin to either prophesy, you'll experience the fullness of the Spirit of God just by letting it rub off. Now, in the New Testament, what we're going to see is that there are three gifts, if you will, for the prophet, okay, prophecy. Let me show you those just really quickly. I'm not going to spend much time here, but we read the one out of Ephesians 4. That's the office gift, all right? Flip over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12. Verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Okay, so there's the prophetic gift and the administration gifts in Romans 12. Okay, flip over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. I know I'm having you flip a bunch of places. I warned you in advance. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Each one is given the manifestation, is in the manifestations of the Spirit. For the common good, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Why do you have three of them? Come on, God, can you make this simple? Well, the office gift of prophet is going to have all three of those. They are slightly different. Okay? I know I'm basically giving you a fire hose worth of information this morning. I'm trying to just get all flooded up. But hopefully by the end it'll be a little bit more clear. I'm trying to get some examples here. The Ephesians 4:11 office gift is going to be able to operate in the office, also in the Romans 12 administration, 1 Corinthians 14 manifestation gift. You know, what is this? Let me try to show you. The 1 Corinthians 14 gift, all of you should be operating in. It's one of the only gifts I believe that everybody should have. Everyone here should be able to prophesy in the manner of the 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone here should be able to prophesy in that manner. It may not have any specific description to it. Let me show you. Everyone here can get a feeling from God that somebody needs some encouragement. They might be able to go up to somebody and say, you know, Mike, the Lord just wants you to know he loves you. Is that biblical? Is it true? Okay. And when the Lord has prompted you to do that to someone, that's an encouraging prophetic gift according to the 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone here has read your Bible enough to be able to go up to somebody and say, you know, the Lord wants you to know, he wants you to walk in freedom. Is it biblical? Can you point to scripture and say, you know, yes, that's biblical. Yes, right? And when you're prompted by the Spirit to go and to speak to someone the words of God, it can be whatever in scripture. Jesus loves you. God wants you to walk in freedom. Jesus wants to bless you. And a lot of people need to hear that. You never know when somebody has said, look, they might have said this that morning, God, if you're out there, would you please show me, send somebody to tell me. And all of a sudden, you know, Gene walks up and it says, you know what, God loves you. And that person will go, that's the answer to my prayer. All of you can walk in this gift, giving encouraging, Spirit-prompted, prophetic information to people. It does not take a lot. All of you should be able to do it. All of you should be doing it regularly. Now, the gift in the 1 Corinthians 12 is a little bit deeper. First Corinthians 12 gifts are going to be more revelatory. Okay? They're going to have information that you probably will not, you would not be able to know except by the Spirit of God. Okay? Alright? Not everybody is going to prophesy in that fashion. I hope you do. I think it's open to you. But not everybody will. And it's a gift that you're going to increase in. Guys, you're kind of, I can't keep looking around at your face keeps just popping up, okay? Do you want to prophesy or do you want to prophesy over you? Well, I'm going to pick you up because let me just speak some words to Cyrus, okay? Lord, thank you for Cyrus. Lord, I thank you that he is a man of God and a man of prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are going to call him to his knees in prayer on a daily basis. Lord, thank you for these knees here, that you're going to bring him into a new season of prayer in his life, where he's going to seek you. He's going to be in his prayer closet for many, many hours on end. Lord, thank you that as he is there, you're going to manifest yourself to him. Manifest yourself to him in a number of increasing ways. The things that he has been seeking for by the Spirit and in his spirit, his heart has been crying out, Lord, thank you that you're going to meet him there, even in the next coming months, that you're going to meet him in that prayer closet. And you're going to impart to him those different things. He's specifically been saying, Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this. Lord, thank you that you're going to begin to impart those things to him. Lord, thank you that they're going to be tangible, that he's going to hear you say, I'm giving this to you immediately. It's not going to be an over time thing, but immediately it's going to start to come to him. He'll be quickened by your Spirit to be able to use those gifts, those talents, those anointings that you're placing in his life. Lord, I encourage him right now to speak a spirit of boldness to come forth in him, that he won't be timid at all, because the words that you're going to start giving him more and more and more prophetic words for people. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to release those things. And Lord, as he speaks, he's going to see those things manifest in the past. Lord, I thank you that you're going to give them boldness to go up to people that are 4 or 5 times his age. He's going to prophesy as one who is solid in you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Things that I have no idea that the Spirit of God does. That's the administration. That's the Romans 12 gift. Got it? You were imparted to. Right? Those were his impartation to us. The Ephesians 4 gift is going to be able to do those other two things. They'll operate in those other two manifestations and the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. They take it one step further. Okay? Their words, when God moves on, their words are creative. This is the words of God come out from his mouth and create. The office gift has that anointing, that gift. Not only that, they, instead of just more of a personal, the Romans 12 will be more, Mike speaking to Cyrus, or Stephen speaking to Ray, or John, talking to Bob back here, and giving these personal encouraging words. A prophet, an office gift prophet, will prophesy over a house, or even larger, to the church at large. Now again, some of these things, what I'm saying, what God does is he takes what he has and he uses what he's got. Okay? So this is what should happen. Sometimes I think God will use somebody else in these fashions just a little bit because there's not a prophet there to do it. So God will use somebody else. But this is how the office gift should work. Three weeks ago, after I got done preaching, I told everybody, I said, there's a window that's open right now. There's a window for us to step into the things of God right now. I said, I don't know how long that window is open. I said, it's for more than just this church. That if we can step into it, and if we don't, if we miss it, God's going to pass us over and go to the next generation. That's an office gift, prophet, prophetic gift occurrence. Because it was to the body. It's to the body at large. Okay, you getting the distinction here? Hopefully. Now with the prophetic office, I'm going to try to bring him down a little bit more to where the rubber meets the road. Actually, let me do this first. Let's talk about the Ephesians 4. I told you I have some metaphors. The Ephesians 4 gifts, okay? The apostle is kind of, your pointer finger is the finger that does the most work, right? You got a little bit more dexterity. You got a little bit more strength. The other fingers kind of support that. The prophet is next to your pointer finger, and it's still strong. It might be even a little bit bigger, taller. But you don't do as much with this finger. It doesn't do as much. It doesn't have quite as much dexterity. It doesn't. The other two, the evangelist and the pastor teacher, are all supporting players for the one thing of making this a whole hand that does the work of the kingdom. Okay? They all work together to do the work of the kingdom. With the apostle, you've got someone who I talked about last week. What you have is someone who is sent by Jesus to represent Jesus And the apostle, he spends a lot of time, you know, both in the spirit realm, but he's also working in the natural. Okay? And he's working with the church, and sometimes he's working, so he's working with those in the kingdom of light primarily, but sometimes he's spanning over to the people in the kingdom of darkness and bringing them in. Okay? The prophet is going to be spending more time in the supernatural than any of the other gifts. More than any other gifts, he spends time in the supernatural. And his gift is primarily to those in the kingdom of light. Now, every once in a while, what you end up having is gifts that kind of overlap. So you'll have an apostle who's prophetic. All right, I believe that you look at James and John and Peter. I believe those were apostolic prophetic. You look at James and John. Remember when they come up to Jesus? You know, Jesus has gone through a town and they reject him. And James and John comes and says, "Hey, Lord, you want to call fire down on them?" Remember that? The sons of thunder. And Jesus says, whoa, time out, guys. You know, that's a prophetic nature. The prophets, they a lot of times have more of the opinion. You know, just nuke them all, send them to the throne of God, and let God sort them out. Okay? That's the prophet. They're passionate. They have this passion about God. And it's like, don't let anything stand in the way. If you have to, just nuke it and send it to God's throne, and he'll sort them out. But let's get the job done. But it's really about the kingdom of light. They're operating in the spirit realm. They're focused on the kingdom of light, the people in the church. Every once in a while, you'll find a prophet that's kind of a prophetic evangelist. And so he'll kind of come in and bring people out of the kingdom of darkness, but he'll do it through his gift. He'll say, you know what? Hey, this is what's going on in your life. You need to get it straight. Get over here now. All right? That's more the prophetic evangelist. Here, come. The prophets at times, they'll drive the other group. Apostles usually know how to handle a prophet. Pastors, a lot of times, they just scratch their heads. Because they have this passion, and they're way up here, and they're going crazy, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, the pastors are trying to span that gap between, you know, they're trying to make sure all the sheep are okay. They kind of got all their sheep together, and it's like the proverbial mom who just has their new baby down for a nap, right? And then the grandpa walks in and goes, "Hey, where's that kid of mine?" And all of a sudden, you know, the baby, rah! And the mom's going, "God bless him, I love him, but I'm gonna kill him." Now, does he mean anything by it? He wants to hold that new granddaughter. You know, he wants to play with her. He wants to impart to her. He loves the baby. He's not going to do it. And that's kind of the prophetic with the sheep. You know, the pastor's like, "Well, I'm going to get all the sheep over here, and I'm going to make sure they're all okay, and they're all numbered, and that way at night I can count the sheep and go to sleep, right?" And then a prophet will walk in and say, "Hey, there's stuff over there. Let's go." And all the sheep go, whoop. And the pastor goes, "Oh, I just had an order. Now what do I do?" Okay? That's why oftentimes the pastor will go, "Okay, I love you. As long as you want to keep thy sheep in order for me, great. If you're going to just come in and scare them all to the kingdom come because you said there's something over here for us to go do, just go bless somebody else for a while." Okay? Kind of what happens if you've been in a prophetic, you know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I gotta take a second. You've seen it happen, and there's the nice scalp ripped off. Okay? The Lord wants you to know that pain, that hurt, that from that, the game is healed. That's a healing process because you've seen a prophet get squished, and it just ripped your heart out. The Lord says, I know that you heard, and that you said yes. And even like that pain from that, yes, I'm going to love you. Even that pain, I'm starting to heal it right now. So begin to walk in that. Romans 12, gift. Okay? All the sheets. Okay. See, the problem with the church today is they don't know who are the prophets. And then it's Saul. I've mentioned before that, the word said, when you receive a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. See, the thing about the prophet is you get to, like I said, it's about experience a lot. It's about just getting together with them. And you end up getting what God has, the power of the kingdom of God. You get to hear what's going on at the throne. You get to, if you want wisdom and knowledge, get with a prophet. They're going to give you wisdom and knowledge. If you need a miracle, boy, they're tuned in to the miracles. I believe that's why you see Peter in Acts. You know, he walks through and his shadow falls on people and they get well. That's an apostle prophetic person. You know, I believe Paul is much more the apostle. Not that he didn't prophesy, he did. But he's much more the apostle and teacher type. You know, because if you look at his stuff, this is apologetics. You know, everything that you need to know about salvation and justification and sanctification, you know, that is much more the apostle teacher type than the prophetic. It is something prophetic in there. The apostle can switch go back and forth through those. He's also high in evangelism, Paul. What happens when you begin to reject the prophet is you begin to also not have what they've got. I mentioned before, you know, the church is powerless to a huge extent. A lot of that is because we haven't been connected with the prophetic. We should be, look, God has put within us the power that He wants us to heal. He wants us to go out in His name, not through us, but through Him, in His name, for His glory, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. And what God has done is He's put that prophetic office in there to be that power catalyst. But when you reject the prophetic, you also reject the power of God. You want to go clean out hospitals and just go room to room, boom, boom, boom. You're well, go home. Go home. Get connected with the prophetic. Because the power of God comes when you're connected in that fashion. You want the wisdom and knowledge of God? Get with the prophetic. What happens when you reject it? We got 5 minutes. I'm going to go through this really quickly. You end up being like Saul. Remember, Samuel gave Saul an order. He said, I want you to do, this is what's going to happen, this is right when Saul is becoming king. He says, you know what, you're going to meet this person, and you're going to meet this other person, and you're going to meet these prophets, and the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and then you're going to go here, and I want you to wait 7 days, and then I'm going to come and sacrifice. All of this things take place, and Saul gets there, and he starts getting antsy. It's like, okay, it's the seventh day. Oh, people are getting antsy. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice. You think, Samuel said he was going to be here, but he's going to go ahead and do it. And then Samuel comes along and says, what have you done? The people were all scattered, so I went ahead and did it anyway. The second strike. Samuel says, go, I want you to kill all these people. And say, I want you to kill them. It's a sacrifice to God. And so he gets there. Samuel comes along and Paul and Saul, what he'd done is he'd saved the choicest sheep. And then the king was standing there and Samuel says, what have you done? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And what you've done is rebelled against the word of the Lord. And what happened to Samuel is he, or I'm sorry, not Samuel, what happened to Saul after he disobeyed Samuel is he started being a depraved mind. He starts lying. He starts getting into manipulation. He starts then chasing after David and where God has put David as a rock in the house. He starts throwing spears at him. As I said, you don't have the prophetic stuff. So Saul is all of a sudden, he's realizing that he's not hearing and he's not seeing because he's not connected with the prophet any longer. And so what does he do? He goes to a witch to conjure up Samuel. You end up looking different places for knowledge and wisdom instead of looking to the things of God. What God has put a prophet there so that you can hear and so that you can see and so that you can get to the power of God. And what ends up happening, if you reject it, you will go someplace else to try to find knowledge. Even if it's the black arts. What ends up happening, you know the story. For Saul is trying to kill David. He goes into battle. He ends up being killed himself. Huntsie's got a great sermon, a little book on King Saul, what happens when you get, it's really, I believe what it is when you reject the prophetic office, you get into this depraved mind, and the ultimate goal is death. Death for the people around you, and death for yourself. You don't switch it around. And that's what we're seeing in the church today. We're seeing in the church today that they rejected the prophetic, and instead they're looking at other places for wisdom, other places for knowledge, and they're looking at all these different, and they don't have the power of God. And what ends up happening is the church is dying. It's dying on the vine. We don't have the power to change society. It lies in these Ephesians 4:11 gifts. It lies in the Ephesians 4:11 gifts. We're going to get to the point that not just us, but we're a part of it. We're a small part. But we're going to get to the point that the church of Jesus is going to change society as we know it. As I said last week, God, if you reject the apostolic, you're rejecting Jesus. When that convicted me, I was reeling from that for days. You reject the prophetic. You won't have the power of God. You won't have the ability to listen, to hear. You'll end up causing death. Not the exact same as if you reject the apostolic. But the prophetic, what you're doing is you're rejecting the supernatural element that Jesus wants us to have. We've got to walk in. If we don't walk in the supernatural, all we have left is our own strength. And that's not going to get us very far. Let's pray again. As I did last week, I want to just give you some time with the Lord.